Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesarino back here for week number 8 of A Claim to Fame. And we are so excited to talk once again about another week of the show we all love, where Luis finally said goodbye. The layup is gone. Let's welcome in a woman who's been with us every step of the way, the Martha Stewart to my Snoop Dogg. Of course, please welcome in one of the smartest women to ever slide out of the birth canal. It is Jenny Autumn.
Yes, speaking of Snoop Dogg, the puppies are off the leash. I'm feeling good, like Elsie. I've learned that this is a sign of luck, so I'm feeling very lucky today, and I'm feeling really good about... You know what? We were saying, Rob, that this was going to be... that the eventual Louise boot was going to be kind of a sleepy episode. And, you know, while the back end was a little less intrigued because we kind of all felt like we knew what was happening, mm-hmm. I still felt like it was still a good episode.
Yeah.
So I'm still, like, feeling very, very good.
Well, we had some intrigue. Who let the dogs out? Yeah, we have a bit of a betrayal to talk about. And, of course, there is no better duo to talk about mystery and intrigue with than the hosts of the Crime Scene Wrap Up. Give up all your magnifying glasses to Mari Forth and Sarah Carradine. Welcome to Claim to Fame.
Is Uma Thurman a man?
Man is in the name.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Thurman.
Solved. Mystery solved.
Yeah. Yes.
It kind of feels like we're coming after the mysteries are already kind of solved. It's just like, will they get caught? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It's like, it's no longer the who done it. It's the will they get caught of it all. Yeah. So glad to be here with you guys.
That is still a very fun part, like, mm-hmm. is trying to see if somebody can get away with, not murder, but...
yeah, that is whodunit. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I think the person who would have been a murderer has left the house, so, swearing all the way with one of the
oh,
like, I was trying to figure out who
he was. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah. Maxwell, he just had a phone. He didn't break that many rules.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to break it all down, of course. Why don't we get some just takes on the season from from Sarah and Mari. Mari, how are you feeling about crime? About not crime scene. I hope you're feeling good about crime scene. How are you feeling about claim to fame?
Good. It, like you guys have been saying for weeks now, why is this show so good? Why is it unexpectedly so intriguing? I have been clinging on for 8 weeks like this should not work. This should be very boring. It should be like just a celebrity ego trip. It's really not. It's so good. It's full with strategy. I cannot believe that this is the show that I'm watching. And I know I'm echoing that sentiment, but I honestly have to come on and say it because I really watched it. I started watching this just thinking like, oh, okay, it's just like some downtime, like maybe some fun stuff, might just, you know, learn a little bit, try and guess along, you know. But it really has been so intriguing and like it really gets your gears going. And the first few weeks, me and my friend had like a notepad. We had like a editable notepad. Like we're like, oh, this person, I think it's this person. Like it's been so much fun. It's been so much fun.
What about for you, Sarah?
Oh, this is such a wonderful show. I mean, the interesting thing for me is that I have heard of everybody except Jason Aldean, and that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that means he's not famous, but I don't enjoy sports ball of any kind. I don't think it's bad. I just don't understand it or get into it. And even I'd heard of Brett Favre, mm-hmm. is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, as Murray said, it's like such an intriguing show. I think that's the format. They've really mm-hmm. thought about the format, like step by step. There's strategy. Once you know who people are, it's still interesting. And on top mm-hmm. of that, the level, is that the right word? The celebrity of the celebrity, you know, relatives is really high. And mm-hmm. that's been a real surprise. I mean, I tried to work out very much who people were, but I'm a bit like Jenny. We did have a very vigorous thread going at one point. She and I had supports. But then as you started to figure out who everybody was, we dropped off. But the way that people just decide something and there's a confirmation bias, right back in episode one, I was convinced that Maxwell was mm-hmm. the grandson of Steven Spielberg because I said to myself, oh, my God, he looks exactly like a young Steven Spielberg. Exactly. But, of course, he looks exactly like a young George Lucas. So that was me. But I was convinced. I have a little friend here. Oh, this is great, isn't it? The visual meeting of a medium of podcasting.
Yes. You have a Chuck Norris throw pillow.
Cushion? No way. You just got that from a thrift store for this podcast, Sarah. You did not already have this.
Look, it would be great if I already had it, but it was actually in the lounge of the hotel I was staying in. I thought,
did you steal
I'll have
it?
That.
I'll give it.
You borrowed it.
You have our own crime.
Yeah,
I borrowed
a little bit. Of prop comedy. But yeah, look, it's been not to bang on too much, but it has been absolutely fascinating. Can I say something from a previous episode?
Yes.
The stuffed goat.
Yes.
That's Simone Biles. Simone mm-hmm. Biles is the goat.
Yeah, I think that. Afterwards, it was kind of like that was because the Simone Biles clues were like they were always just yada yada because it wasn't important to us or the people playing because they all knew who she was. So I think that maybe like, and again, this is something I've been saying is that I feel like sometimes they are picking clues that they could maybe stretch to more than one of the celebrities. And I feel like the goat is like, you know, you can say like anyone is the greatest.
Amara said Whoopi Goldberg is the GOAT.
Well, exactly. That's why I was like, that's why, you know, maybe that's a great clue to use because you can make the argument that more than one person is the GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I have like one gripe, I guess, with the show, it's really interesting how some of the clues are so easy and some of them just aren't. Mm-hmm. Like the Brett Favre clue, like literally quarterback number four paid for the Packers. Like, I mean, it's so easy. But, you know, my friend did point out like, but it doesn't matter how easy the clue is. If you don't know the person, you just will not know. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's true. But that felt so like specific as opposed to like runway queen from the 80s, like like that mm-hmm. could be so many people. Yeah,
yeah,
so
yeah, I decided
the disparity
that was
in the clues. Yeah,
I decided that was Helena Christensen, and I convinced myself that, like, look, and she does sort of look a little bit like her, but then there was a particular look at that time. And what made me go away from that was I thought, people don't know who that is. Like, I don't know that Helena Christensen is now known so much, whereas Cindy Crawford, you know, people still know. So yeah, there's an element of that as well.
But Cindy Crawford, I didn't even know she did runway. I didn't know that. I just know her as a cover girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Or the jeans. I feel like print modeling is what I know her from. I didn't know. I had no idea she was a runway model.
I guess I just would assume, like, I think that especially like 80s and like early 90s, like if you did any modeling, you probably did like run. I felt like runway was like a lot more of a thing. Maybe I could be totally wrong. Like, I don't know. Is runway still as much of a thing as it was then? Because I feel like any sort of model was also runway model, but that could just be my own ignorance. Right.
Like, editorials changed a lot. So it's like all manner of people can be editorial models, but the runways, they're still throwing, you know, very young girls down. That is changing as well.
As somebody who's watched so much America's Next Top Model, they make you feel like it's different, you know, and all of the runway queens that I know from the 80s or 90s are like Naomi Campbell, Tyra Banks, you know, it's like they are known for their runway and for their walk. And when you say runway queen, I'm like, oh, it has to be somebody known for their walk. And for me, I did not know it. I didn't know that was Cindy Crawford.
Sarah, before we move on, can we go back to this Chuck Norris pillow? And I have to understand.
Well, now you have to tweet a picture of it, Sarah.
Why? Yes, we definitely need to make sure this gets tweeted. Why was this in the hotel? What kind, is this some sort of Chuck Norris hotel?
And then also, well, can I ask a follow-up question after that? Yes. Okay.
You may notice, and this may be your question, you may notice he's in a military uniform.
Yes, yes. It looks okay, like a British military uniform. Yes.
Yes.
Is this a part he played?
He was sitting on a couch with his friends, Alan Rickman and Bill Murray,
okay, yes,
who were also wearing these British military uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will tweet
so
a picture.
There were cushions of Alan Rickman and Bill Murray as well. You left those ones behind.
Yes.
And in our Big Brother podcasting, we spoke with Brittany D'Angelo from Big Brother 23, and she talked about how she studies the Chuck Norris's martial arts and only referred to him as Grandmaster Norris.
Grandmaster Norris.
Wow.
Yeah. So she calls him Grandmaster Norris, and Maxwell calls him Grandfather Norris.
Yeah. Okay. He's going to be furious when he finds out.
Yeah.
In a couple years. When it gets back to him eventually.
Tell Grandpa.
Yes. Brittany seemed to say that did not sound right to her. Chuck Norris does not own a cell phone. So maybe Maxwell doesn't have the number.
Maybe the cell phone that Maxwell took into the house was Chuck Norris's cell phone. He was just saying he doesn't currently have a cell phone.
Yes,
because
I actually have his phone. Smart.
That might have been it.
Smart. Okay. All right.
He could have gone all the way. No one would ever have guessed.
Yeah.
Why don't we just talk a little bit big picture on the claim to fame? That, to me, I feel like this is a two-horse race. I feel like either Elsie or Logan is going to win. I feel like I'm coming down more on the side. Elsie is going to win claim to fame. Mari, do you have a pick, or do you think that it might be potentially either Lark or Pepper? We could rule them out.
I love Elsie. She's who I'm rooting for. So I really do want her to win. I think the only thing that can stop her right now is if somebody guesses her fake name before the finale, because again, we still don't know what the finale is. And I kind of wish, I don't know how they would have told us, but I kind of want to know what the finale is. You know, I want to know right now. I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
But I guess that is the anticipation. It builds the anticipation and all that. But yeah, I'm rooting for Elsie, but I mean, like Sarah said, I know everybody in that house except for Jason Aldean. Like, I have no clue about that. And the people in the house have expressed they have no clue. So I don't understand how you trip him up unless, like, he figured out Peppers. We know that he figured out Peppers. Lark is still, Lark and Elsie are the two people that have the fake ones going for them. Mm-hmm. So unless you put him down there, you hope that he's like really good friends with Elsie and doesn't decide to go with her and picks Lark and is wrong. I think that's kind of the only way he gets out at this point, unless, you know, the next episode just just spells the names out at this point.
I think it's the problem here is that, like, we don't know how it ends. So we don't know, right. Does it get down to two people and what does that look like? And do they know? Because you get to a certain point where like Elsie and Logan have to know that they are each other's competition to win at this point. Mm-hmm. And they've been working together so well, you know, straight through this episode where we see Elsie basically choose Logan, over Lark. And, so, you wonder, like, are they waiting for the last possible moment to try to take each other out? Like, are we going to see in the next episode that's when, like, they feel like this is the last chance where they can try and take a shot at each other, perhaps mm-hmm. use one of the other people to take a shot at each other? Or, you know, are they just saying, like, listen, we're the two best people here, and, like, well, let's just get to the end and see how it goes? Because I think they are not sure. I don't think that they are sure about Pepper. I know that that's the name, because they even mm-hmm. seemed in this episode where they were talking about maybe getting Louise to guess Pepper, that they weren't even 100% sure that that would guarantee that Pepper would go out. And yeah. what we also did see in this episode, and it wasn't confirmed, but we've been talking pretty openly for the last few episodes that we think that Logan is related to Jason Aldean. I personally feel like it's all but confirmed.
Yes.
And this was the first actual episode where we hear Jason Aldean's name mentioned. So we've been kind of noticing that trend of where, like, the name kind of gets mentioned a couple weeks or like a week or so before it starts getting confirmed. Cause I feel like we got Cindy Crawford's name come up last week or this week? I can't remember, but I just feel like, you know, we're getting close. And I also think that something that we should talk about eventually, but, the Lawrence Fishburne, not, you know, that could potentially, without Elsie being guessed, they might also come to the conclusion that that's not who she's related to, based on the fact that his star was on the
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wish that we knew a little bit more about how it's going to end. But again, I also kind of like that we don't know, because it adds a little bit of intrigue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they know Cindy Crawfish now. So, but it's interesting, if you know Jason Aldean's songs, the clue gave it to you. Dirt Road Anthem is one of his songs. I now know.
It's actually
but
called
LC
that.
But LC doesn't know.
Yes.
And the only person who might know is Pepper, and she hasn't shown Pepper the clue. So it's there. The name was mentioned. I mean, it's very intriguing. I'd love to just sort of talk about at some point some ideas about how we think the final might go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the Jason Aldean thing, the one thing I wondered was, so it's interesting that we're hearing that Pepper is the only possible person that might be able to help with the country music clues, when I'm pretty sure it was Lark who said Jason Aldean's name when they were having the conversation, and LC was the one that said, he's recent, I don't think that Logan's relative is recent. Now, what I don't know from Elsie, and we didn't get a confessional about this, was, is she deflecting? Right. And she, you know, she actually does think that it could be someone recent, or does she truly think that, you know, Logan's relative is not someone who's currently making music? And is she more in the dark than she actually could be?
Yeah, those are really good questions. I don't know if we get that from this episode. What I think that we can explore, and maybe we do have the evidence to be able to figure out what exactly is Elsie thinking, is the bit of intrigue that we get at the end of the episode, where basically that Logan and Elsie, they come up with this plan. They are going, they tell Lark, don't worry, we're going to put Louise in. We're going to give Louise the shot to go ahead and guess on Pepper. And then basically shades of Big Brother 3 of, okay, mm-hmm. it's a tie vote and the HOH is going to break the tie, but they end up going, in a different way, they end up putting Logan into the guess off. And there's a few different reasons why that might have happened the way that it did. I mean, the first that comes to my mind is, was there some concern that maybe Louise might have actually had the identity of either Elsie or Logan, and they were afraid that if they put Louise into the guess off, okay, take out Pepper here, that she might have turned around and eliminated one of them?
I think that that's definitely a possibility, because Louise has gotten clues for like the last couple of weeks. And, you know, her whole purpose in the game for the last, you know, however many weeks, was she was basically just helping other people. Like, she kind of knew she was living on borrowed time. And, mm-hmm. you know, that the way that she stayed alive was basically, you know, giving all of her information to other people in the house. And I think that they very much knew that she was close with Lark. And so, you know, if they aren't super sure that Lark is like playing with their interests in mind, that, you know, they might have information on one of them, and that could be them being played, when, you know, why not just take the sure shot and protect themselves? I mean, we didn't get any sort of confessional saying that this was a concern of theirs, so I don't know. But I think that that's something that you should probably think about, because I don't think that you should be discounting Louise, especially when, you know, she's getting clues. She won a bunch of challenges and she's sharing that information with other people every single time. So not only is she does she have her own brain to work through these things, she's consulting multiple different people in different weeks. It wasn't always the same people too. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible that she's been like brainstorming with people on you know, like multiple people's clues here, and that she, you know, I don't think that she knew Louise Elsie or Logan. So I don't think that they were necessarily in danger. But I think that if you're Elsie and Logan, that's something you do have to think about, when why not, you know, protect yourself, put yourself in the guesser position and take out the sure shot.
Yeah, because otherwise, what's the point of the subterfuge if there wasn't something that they needed to do strategically? It's mean if it's something they didn't need to do strategically. And I don't think either of them are mean people. I love them both. Elsie also is someone I've rooted for right from the start. There's no reason to do what they did unless there's a strategic reason. And the only and what you say is a great explanation, I think, that they were afraid of somebody spilling some sort of beans. I mean, Pepper's there as well. But, you know, they could have weaponized Pepper. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their thinking about protecting themselves, they don't know that that hasn't happened, or might not happen if they say no, it's going to be Logan.
You know, one of the things that I had been thinking about in the episode was that, did Logan try to throw the challenge to get into the guess off, to be the guesser? There was not a lot of evidence to support that this happened, mm-hmm. but just from a strategic standpoint, we talked about this in one of the previous episodes, that being immune is the best that you can be, but second best is probably to be the guesser, because you know that you are not going to go home, and especially when the layup was still on the board.
Like, right.
Mark, is this possible that that Logan could have tried to get into the bottom two and then worked with Elsie to make sure that he was going to be the guesser?
And this is exactly what I was going to say. I think we did get a few just a few confessionals, or maybe just sound bites, but basically they said they don't want the layup to go any further. That's how I understood it and how I took it, because if the layup goes any further, they don't know how the finale goes. She could win the whole thing. I think that's what Elsie said. And at this point, in order for you to maybe get out the allies that you don't, that you're not working with, the layup needs to be gone. So I think that this was the appropriate time for Louise to go. Elsie and Logan made it so that the reason she had been dragged along this whole time was so that one of their allies could use her to get to the next step. Logan, they put Logan in. Logan does the layup. She goes home. And now it's four of them left, right? Yeah, four left. The layup is gone. Now it's like it's game time. And they might have a chance of, if they stick together, if it really is like, you know, Pepper and Lark weren't working together. You know, Pepper was working with Amara. Lark was working with Louise. That's why she wanted Louise to stay. You get rid of Louise. You have a united front of Logan and Elsie, at least for right now, against two people who don't work together.
Yeah.
And that's the better way to go through without the layup. Now, and the layup is gone now. So you have effectively, I think they effectively used the layup. I mean, Amara was the reason that Louise even made it this far. And Elsie and Logan actually weaponized her and used her to the way that everybody wanted her to be used. I thought this was the perfect end for Louise's game as somebody who was for sure out the door night one.
Yeah, because if they had, you know, let Louise take the shot at Pepper here and Pepper goes out, they keep a strong pair in mm-hmm. in Louise and Lark, and then it's basically 2v2 where mm-hmm. I mean we get Lark at the end of this episode saying that she feels like it's 3v1, but we also just saw last week Elsie and Logan kind of screw Amara and Pepper and leave them out mm-hmm. of it. So it's not even like those three are united, but Logan and Elsie did a great job here of, you know, taking two isolated people and leaving them with no options. So if like they're going to basically have to choose to trust or work with one or both of them in this next week. And I think that, you know, they're probably like, they want a big person to go out next. Like, you probably want to take a big threat out before the finale. Again, no idea what that looks like. So yeah. I think that if you leave Louise at four, then that's like everyone's going for that. And, you know, if you get her out here at five, then you have the opportunity to get like an actual big threat out right as like close as possible to the end of the show.
Yeah, and you've also have had two rounds where immunity is not once more back up for grabs. I mean, will there ever be immunity again? I suspect not.
Not this season.
Yeah.
So now, it's emergent game strategy that now that the most powerful position has been removed, the most powerful position becomes the guesser. So you want mm-hmm. to be the guesser. I don't know whether Logan threw it. But it would be super smart to do it at this point.
The thing that I thought was weird was that all of a sudden Logan's like, yeah, I'm just like a dumb idiot. I don't know anything about pop culture. Like, I don't like, mm-hmm. whoa, where was this the whole season?
Logan is gaslighting us at this point.
Stop gaslighting us, Logan.
This man has been like, you know, the one of the masterminds of the season. He's been
I'm just a dumb idiot.
Has he won a challenge? I don't think he's gotten a wine cellar clue himself, besides ones that have been shared with him. He's not won a challenge, but he has been very instrumental in figuring out who a lot of people are based on the clue wall, like secondhand information from clues. Like, this man is not dumb. Mm-hmm. And now I understand trying to play it up to the other people in the house that, like, I'm not a threat. I have no idea who anyone is. Like, you should not be worried about me because I definitely don't know who any of you are. But he's saying this in confessionals now. He's telling us that he's dumb. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you not have confidence, or are you gaslighting me? Because I swear to God, you are not stupid.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, so you don't believe he didn't grow up with a TV or any of that?
Listen, he knows things. So whether he had the TV or not, like, he knows things. He's either been reading it in books or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, he and Elsie are the two that we see using the books, and I'm sure that these are not the only occasions that they were using the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is not a dummy. He is a smarty.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this then?
But he shouldn't be telling lies to us.
I don't think the producers want them to say that he's throwing the challenge. Like I think that this is the first time they're doing this, and I think that they feel like, because this is always hard for reality TV producers to, like, when somebody is throwing the challenge, do we tell that to the audience? Does that make it feel like it's ruining the show? Like, maybe they're saying like, oh, well, could you, like, if he's like, hey, I threw this challenge, me and Elsie have, like, well, you ruined our show today. Like, this is really completely destroys all the drama. So can you just say that you didn't know anything?
But then, like, if we are supposed to care about the different ways that you can be strategic on this show, like purposely, you know, throwing a competition because, you know, you see the value in putting yourself into the guesser position, like, as a strategy, I think that's smart. So I don't know why they wouldn't want that to be showcased, because it's like you're just revealing another way that people can use strategy to help themselves. Like, why wouldn't you want to know that? So I mean, I definitely see what you're saying, Robin. Like, that's very possible. But if that was production led, I'm like, why? Like, this is brilliant. This is another way to be like, oh my God, big brain Logan, like, found a way to, like, you know, make himself appear weak, put himself in the guesser position, and get the outcome he wanted from this week.
But is it possible that production doesn't know what they have?
I agree, Sarah. Yes.
But they don't know that we're watching it, and that it is, you know, watchers of, you know, social strategic games that are watching it and are hungry for the strategy. They don't know that, maybe.
That's a very good point, too, because it's like they created this show in a vacuum without having any idea. Like, it's not based on anything else that I'm aware of from another country. And so I think that if anything, they learned more about the strategy watching the players play as the season played out. Like, I think that, you know, we've seen this in other shows where, you know, like the first season of Big Brother, let's say, like, obviously was a completely different format. But like, when you change the format, you see people play in a way that you didn't even anticipate. And that obviously, like, changes the format as it goes. So that's very, very possible, is that, like, they didn't realize the magic that they were creating because it was kind of unfolding as the show went on. So but I hope that it's been, like, now that it's been airing and everyone's seen that, I hope that the producers are like, wow, we killed it, let's do it again.
Right. I was gonna say, has season two been confirmed at all?
I think it has gotten the pickup yet.
I feel like it will. I mean, I feel like it will. Like we've been saying, this whole Discovery and Time Warner, if this didn't teach us anything, reality TV is really easy to do. Mm-hmm. Very cheap to make, and it has high profit margins. So, and I'm sure a smattering of, like, celebrity relatives will love to get on this. So I can't imagine. I really hope there's a season two.
Because no one has been canceled from this. Like, they don't have to get the celebrity themselves. Like, this, you know, that's why I think, like, to what Sarah said earlier, that, like, the level of celebrity has been, like, pretty good. And like a range of people that, you know, that's a lot easier to do when you're not trying to get the celebrity themselves. You're trying to get the relative. And, like, there is no shortage of other celebrities with relatives. And something that I thought was interesting that I want to talk about when we get through to, like, talking about the challenge is, I just think, is there something to, you'd think that celebrities, they're in, or like relatives of celebrities, they're in the celebrity world, they're celebrity adjacent. You would think that they would know a little bit more about other celebrity things. And I almost feel like, is there, like, a separation here where I am someone who is not even that tuned into celebrity things. I've been saying this the entire time. I hardly watch things. I barely watch the things I'm podcasting about. And so that's why me being a co-host of the show is kind of funny. But when I know the answers to some of these things and the people playing do not, when they literally have the names in front of them, is there, like, are we making an assumption that they should know because they're in the celebrity world, or is it actually the opposite? And because it's, like, not as, like, major to them, because it's like, oh yeah, like, celebrity stuff, like, I don't care. Like, is there something to that?
I think it's more that they are very young. I think it's the biggest thing. And they don't know. They don't know, like, a lot of movie trivia from the 90s. Like, I don't know how old Logan and Louise are, but if they're, like, you know, Gen Z, like, in their very early 20s, like, yeah, it's possible. Like, they don't know, like, the cast of The Fly. And, you know,
well, I didn't even know that one. But.
Right. So
I knew that one. I think it
might be a little bit more of the age disparity than anything
Rob,
else.
Did you just call me old?
Oh, Jenny, I'm the first to call myself old. But, you know, we're not like, you know, 22.
Mm-hmm. I also think there's a cultural element here too. Like we all saying like, oh, I don't know the country person, and me listening to you guys every episode, every week, not know some of the the contestants while I'm here. Like y'all don't Keke Palmer. Like I think it's okay that it's that, you know, there are cultural relevancy that might not be known to other people outside of that culture. That's, you know, that's perfectly fine. And I think that's one of the things I really like about this show, because it kind of opens the door for you to get to know other cultural icons that you might not have been exposed to in your like kind of pop culture bubble.
Yeah.
So
we literally see LC say, like, I want everyone in my life to give me a country album for Christmas, because this is a whole world that I am not exposed to. So it's we're seeing in real time. Yeah. People are like, okay, I got to learn more about this.
And myself, like every time I see Keke Palmer or like anybody from the cast of the show, I'm like, ah, yeah, look who it is.
I will never not know what Keke Palmer is doing now. I am like, because I'm pretty sure that Rob and I were like the only two people that were like, I don't really know. I don't really know her.
No, no.
And then like the entire world was like, what?
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, the only one that I got all by myself, and I'm sort of proud, but it's also just, you know, there's a lot of junk in the back of my head somewhere. But as soon as I saw the olive, I said to myself and someone else, so I can prove it, I said, as soon as I saw the olive, I said, Dean Martin. And I thought, why did I say that? Then what clinched it for me, Logan actually clinched it for me, because in the spelling one, if you remember when they were in the pool and they were spelling words,
how could I forget
and they spelled handkerchief, I thought, that doesn't mean anything to me. And Logan said, handkerchief, I call it a pocket square. And I thought, pocket square, like Dean Martin, red pocket square, black suit, done. Yeah. I know who that person is. So I felt extremely pleased with myself and told everybody who would care to listen, which is only a few people. And everybody else, I have been happy to pretend to rack my brain, but allow the, you know, the contestants and you two to kind of open and break open the case of who these people are. So I think that's another reason maybe the producers don't quite know what they have, because you can enjoy it on so many levels. I think people like us who like to look at the strategy and like to talk about it and like to go into that, we are satisfied. And the people who are just switching it on to see the celebrities are also satisfied. They're not baffled by strategy. They don't have 20 years of, you know, history behind this show. It's like a new show, and it's for all of us.
I will say that I have not listened to as much country music than I have in like the last week, because Phil has you know, had his Jason Aldean reawakening, and, you know,
reawakening.
Well, he apparently was like, he loved country music in high school, a bunch of his friends, and he likes Jason Aldean. And so when we got the Kelly Clarkson clue, he immediately, when the episode was over, he made us turn on the song in question. So the country music has been playing in my household for the last week. So I am exposed to it now, whether I like it or not.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about the competition from this week. So we ended up with playing the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Sarah, are you a fan of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes, I am very much. And I liked that they figured out what 1 degree is. It's just that next person. Some people call that 2 degrees. That is 1 degree. I liked the setup of it. I liked that if you didn't know the answer, you could run around like a blue-ass fly and just chuck 48 guesses before finding Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
That had you all the time in the world you could actually solve your board. So I think the challenges have been either okay to really good. This to me is one of the best challenges that they've had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you have that pop culture knowledge and you don't even have to run, Elsie says she doesn't run. The girls helped her.
She had to keep the puppies in.
Mm-hmm. She got to keep the puppies in. And I, you know, I'm familiar with that action. Mm-hmm.
The girls are walking.
Yeah, they were walking. And it also means that if Logan were to throw it, we don't know whether he was or not, it opens the door for possibility for this emergent gameplay. So, yeah, and I was also very pleased to know the answer to all the questions except uh-huh. for one, which we're keeping very silent. Mari knows which one it is. I had to hang my head in shame.
You can't just say that and not tell
which
us.
Which one?
Justin Timberlake. I mean, I've heard of him.
But you also saying he's definitely not in NSYNC?
I wasn't saying he. When he said he's definitely not in NSYNC, I thought, okay, I believe you because.
Well, he's mm-hmm. smart. Like, we should, like, that. I don't blame you for believing what Logan says.
And I do feel like that a lot of NSYNC stuff has shown up in our own little world in the last mm-hmm. year, from The Circle when there was the Lance Bass impersonator who was in, was it The Circle season 2? And then also, of course, Chris Kirkpatrick being in the last Celebrity Big Brother. I feel like there was a lot of NSYNC talk.
I didn't know he was an NSYNC either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it definitely has come up.
So that was fun, like knowing the answers. And I think we paused at one point to look. And there was an answer which was Hugh Jackman. So I was like, "Oh, justice for Hugh. Where's the Hugh? I know they can't give
the representation."
Where's the representation? Mm-hmm.
One thing I really liked about the challenge and what I thought that would help me is, like, I'm a very visual person where sometimes if I don't know the answer off the top of my head, just the act of seeing names. Mm-hmm. It will pop into my brain. Like, that's why, like, you know, with pop culture trivia, if there's multiple choice, that actually tends to help me because it's like, I don't realize it until I hear a few of the options. Cause I'm like, I know it for sure. It's not that person. And sometimes you just have like something on the tip of your tongue and seeing the name, will make it come to you. So I liked that was there. And I thought it was very interesting how there were names of people that were floating around as clues. And I wondered how much of that was intentional by production, and why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a really good question because that did they do that to sort of, because it felt like that they saw those names. They're like, oh, these guesses cannot be who we think they are. Was it almost like to sort of like, hey, you guys aren't close and the finale is around the corner. is that why you think that they would have done that?
It's giving like, you know, Elsie and Lark were pushed because mm-hmm. like the fact that we saw Martha Stewart and Lawrence mm-hmm. Fishburne's, you know, stars, and we heard from Logan and Pepper, who chatted after the competition, that they did not see their celebrities' names there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that's not a great look. It's like if you're going to, you know, like, put names that you know have been floating out around as options, and not the actual right names as well for everyone, I think that that's a little dirty. But maybe I'm just, you know, being too much of a stickler here, where I don't think mm-hmm. that you should be helping by, like, putting actual names of people that have been floating around as guesses when people know that their name, like their celebrity names, are not there. So I didn't love that, but I definitely wonder how much that the remaining players are thinking about that and what that means.
Yeah, and I also, like, it was even worse because I'm pretty sure Martha Stewart was on a board, wasn't she?
Yes.
It was like,
yes, Martha Stewart is friends with or is on a show with Snoop Dogg.
Yes. So that immediately means she cannot be the end result. If she is the one of the degrees of separation, she's not the end result. And that is, like, messed up. I don't think that happened with Lawrence Fishburne.
No, I don't think so.
They didn't get to see all of the boards. They only ended up seeing the board that they completed. And then Elsie got the second degree of everyone. So I think that for everyone else, but if you saw the Martha Stewart star, like you still saw it.
Yeah. It had to have been intentional because I felt like just thinking it through, it's like, oh, well, maybe like production, like they had to get like all these stars printed. Those are pretty well-known people. They could have been in the thing, but they didn't have to put them on the floor. Like they could have said, oh, let's pick this one. Let's pick up Lawrence Fishburne because people are talking about Lawrence Fishburne. Unless they thought that like, oh, okay, maybe this is going to make it be a little bit more smoke for Lawrence Fishburne. But I have to think that they were just trying to steer the people a little bit. Here's a clue that you're not close and get back on track because we got to figure this out by the end of the show.
Well, there are clues available beyond the games. I mean, there's the wall, and I'm sure there are things around the house that if you were examining them in the way that Logan seems to know every inch of that house now, casually looking. So this is also fair in that there are clues outside the games that you can pick up on. I think him being the very first one that you step over on the doorstep perhaps is putting the finger on the scale a little too much.
I do want to say that with this show that I do think that like when we talk about the prospects of its renewal, that I think that they've done a really great job of like, I don't know what the production budget is, but like these challenges that they do, I think that they probably cost about like $300 each, but they've been good. Like they really get a lot of bang for their buck. It's like they basically like stay at this house and like these challenges like are pretty low rent, but they're effective and they're not spending like a lot of like wasted money like they do for like all these like dumb props and like crazy like visual things that we see in the Big Brother backyard. They make this work.
They probably have a similar, you know, competition budget as Big Brother, and yet it doesn't look cheap.
At least. Yeah.
It doesn't look Dollar Tree the way that so many of these Big Brother competitions do. So I completely agree. Like they've been able to do a lot with very little, and the concepts behind the challenges are good too. Like I just think that they've done such a great job. I wonder, like, will Katy Perry let them use the house again?
It was just a house that Katy Perry lived at
Rob, she owns it. This is the narrative that I am.
It's not nice enough to be Katy Perry's current house.
She doesn't live there right now. She just owns it as well.
Maybe.
She probably owns a few houses, I think.
It's definitely given BBOTT, that's for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in like a good way, like a good way. Yeah.
That's not always a bad comparison. So,
What did we think of the actual clues that we got? So ultimately, Elsie is going to win. We get the degrees of like the second degree information of getting to each person. Okay. George Clooney was in a tequila commercial with Lark's person. Now, this would not have done anything for me. How well known is this tequila commercial that Cindy Crawford was in with George Clooney?
I like if we hadn't had all of the conversations in the weeks preceding where we talked about the agave clue and the tequila and Cindy Crawford's husband owns a tequila company, like as soon as that was the clue, I was like, oh well, like that's very obvious, but it's obvious to me with this information. The only commercial that I think of with George Clooney is the Nespresso commercials, because I'm an Nespresso gal. Those are recent commercials, so I have no memory of this tequila commercial. I don't know how widespread it was.
Apparently it was in 2013.
Okay. Maybe that's why they're focusing on it. I just don't understand. I don't understand how you have Cindy Crawford as like the main person, and you're talking about tequila and being in a commercial with George Clooney. Because again, when I think of her, that's not what comes to my mind. So I really feel it's kind of weird to me. Like, am I wrong? Am I thinking of the wrong person? But was she not like the face of like Calvin Klein or something? She's like the face of like so many things.
Well,
but
here's the trick, Mari.
Tequila.
I feel like that the beauty mark. I feel like they haven't really focused on that. But like what other celebrity could you pair her with for the like she was in blank with blank.
True.
Well, that's the thing is like, I am surprised. No shade to Cindy Crawford. I'm just surprised that she was in a commercial in 2013. Like, I didn't realize that she was doing
it's her husband's company.
Right. I guess that makes sense. But like, you know, George Clooney is still doing things. That doesn't surprise me. But I don't know that I would have made that connection because I'd be like, oh, who, you know, who's doing a commercial with George Clooney for like, definitely Cindy Crawford. Like, I would be thinking of someone that's like still kind of in the circuit, I guess.
So did Pepsi just say, no, you can't use us either? Because like that's like,
well, they did mention the commercial. Yeah. But I don't know, there was nobody famous that she was in a Pepsi commercial with. This might have been the toughest one to do. Yeah. 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not mad at this one, but I'm just saying, like, all of the other stuff, too, like the agave and stuff like that. It's just like, I feel like we're focusing on the wrong thing here. Runway queen.
Yeah, I mean, if she, I mean, couldn't they have, because of course you work forwards and then they guess it backwards, but couldn't they have used someone that she walked for to really press home the modelness of it? Could it have been Calvin Klein? Could it have been one of the designers she walked for? Then I suppose it's hard to get then. But, you know, everybody knows everybody in Hollywood, don't they?
Well, apparently they're all related.
Exactly, they're all related.
According to the
I wonder, I mean, there's been the model clues, model, the cover outline. But it's like they got the model clue really, really early. And they've dropped the fact that it's a model, and then they've decided Martha Stewart models, which is, you know, she's been.
Well, apparently she did.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, good for her.
A listener had actually sent a link to Martha Stewart's like early modeling days before she, you know, became the maven of home and lifestyle. So that was something I didn't even know, but apparently these people seem to have known.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sorry, Jenny, but did Britney not share that clue with everybody? I think that's what they said. Like, Britney pulled the clue and didn't share with anybody, but maybe
I think she showed Kai and Kai and then, wrote
it down
what she remembered and now she's gone. So I think it was like a telephone game with the clue.
Telephone game.
But we did see in this episode, we saw LC talking to Logan, and she's going through that for the longest time she thought all of the fashion clues were Zendaya, and now she's starting to realize that they were probably for Lark. So and I still go back to, I don't know if this was the last episode, it's all blending in now, but the spot the difference with the magazine cover, the model on it had the beauty mark. So it's like, I have to think that they not noticed that. I don't know. Again, you know, confirmation bias, when you are already going into these things, knowing it's Cindy Crawford, you're thinking of the iconic beauty mark. So you're going to notice that. So I could just be being like, have they not considered this? And it's like, yeah, you have the information, girl. But I think, you know, it's the fact that we got Cindy Crawford mentioned because of the crawfish, I think they're there. They're almost at the point where I'm assuming they think they all know each other. They know each other.
You think that they know Cindy Crawford?
I think so. I think that I don't think that they want. I don't think that they want to tell you right away. That I think they want to tease that they're on to it. But if it's not going to be a key plot line of the episode, and if it's not going to come up as a possibility in the guess off, I think they're just going to tease that they might be onto it, pop the name out. And I think that they also are probably trying not to give absolutely everything away to the viewers if they're still trying to like keep track at home and they're not doing like the, you know, the amount of research and putting together that we as a podcast and our community are doing. So I definitely think that there's people that are probably still playing along.
Elsie kind of has cracked the code because instead of being frightened of her clues for her person, she's looking at the structure of the clues for her person and then trying to apply that to the other objects that she's seeing. So when she saw Kiki, she thought, things that rhyme, things that sound like it. And they also got Sharpton from Sharp Objects, which to me is a very long bow to draw. So now there she is standing in front of the clue wall, seeing what I thought was a lobster, but is in fact a crawfish and saying crawfish Crawford. So this is a really, this is really good strategy to go, I know which ones are mine. How do they sound like? Do they look like? Is it something they wear? Is it like, what is it? Mm-hmm. Therefore, how are the clues being constructed for the other
pattern
people?
Recognition for sure.
Ah, thank you. That was like, two words I could have said instead of 25.
Well, the podcast would be too short.
Too short. One of the things I really loved was that it seemed like that the Jonas Brothers were getting just like exhausted by some of the bad guessing that the contestants were doing. And I really just loved seeing just how like exasperated they were getting, especially with Louise, that it seemed like that Louise was just seems like that she was just bringing back clues. She brings back like Elvis Presley at one point. But and then Kevin Jonas felt like that when she couldn't get the door open, said like, oh, I guess you're not as strong as your sister.
I think Louise has provided so much like comedic relief in her time on the show. And I like that the, you know, the hosts are having fun with it and, you know, that they're not taking themselves too seriously. And like, that's very much Louise's like, you know, spot in this show is like, she's always laughing. She's kind of like self-deprecating and stuff. So I think like, it's like, they feel comfortable at this point that they can like make fun of Louise because she's like also making fun of herself. But I like that part of it.
I thought they kind of did her dirty with like one of the questions, which was like, is the voice of Chief Wiggum on The Simpsons? I mean, I think we're really getting into like very like inside baseball on The Simpsons.
Oh, wow.
That was so funny though, where Frankie goes, no, Michael Jordan did not voice Chief Wiggum on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I mean, she's at least in the sports world.
Right. And that was all to get to Hank Azaria, which I feel like that was a little tough to get to get to the clue, which was that Hank Azaria. Now, was this for her own person? Because it was Hank Azaria was in Mac and Moxie with Simone Biles.
I think.
Oh,
Was that she,
the second Louise?
Lark had Louise.
Okay, Louise.
But I don't think that was Lark. It was Lark. That was Louise that had put Michael Jordan in. Oh no, Lark did bring back Michael Jordan. Sorry, I missed.
Yes.
Because we're getting you know that Lark was also kind of struggling in this. And again, the three youngest people were the ones that I think that were struggling the most here. But I just So that was I don't even know what Mac and Moxie
I don't know.
Is.
I have never heard of Mac and Moxie.
You know Mac and Me.
Yeah, Mac and Me for sure. Yes.
So again, just another stretch of a degree to get to the person.
Right.
Like Simone Biles has had to have been in something else with somebody famous. Right?
I don't know. I mean, but she's not really like an actress. Like, what are you gonna say? Like she was in the Summer Olympics with Michael Phelps. Yeah.
I think it's harder with athletes, right? Because like with you know, with actors and musicians, you've got a lot more collaboration going on. So it's a little bit easier to
Mac and Moxie.
Especially
because
like gymnastics is like, you know,
she doesn't have a lot of acting
like a little
roles.
Bit more siloed than like football, let's say.
She's been in two things. She's been in Mac and Moxie and she was on an episode of Blackish. And I don't know if
we'll do Blackish then.
But I think I don't know, she's like a guest star. I think it was an episode that aired April 12th, 2022. It's possible that the episode she did aired after the show even filmed.
Dang. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if like production is just phoning it in on Louise's clues at this point, being
don't
like,
worry
this
about
is
it.
A stretch, but who cares?
Trust
they already
us.
Know this is not helpful.
Trust us. Okay.
Mac and Moxie is a kid's show. It's like, it looks like a show that my son would watch. So it's not even a. Like, it's a little kid Saturday morning looking show that I guess Hank Azaria plays a voice on it. So I don't know if maybe Simone Biles just came in and popped in and did a little celebrity cameo for it. But wow. Yeah. Okay. This was definitely a reach. She's reaching, Your Honor.
We also got that Jackie Chan was in this 1981 movie with Dean Martin. Sarah, is this a well-known film?
Not to me. Not to me.
Cannonball Run.
Oh, Cannonball Run. Oh, yeah, huge.
Cannonball Run is good. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Was it
Cannonball Run?
That's what they said, I thought.
Okay.
Or was it the Cannonball Run 2?
I think it might have been 2.
Oh.
The sequel was not...
Not as
Cannonball
beloved.
Run not the 2. Runaway success that the first one
Cannonball
was.
Cannonball Run
it's
2.
It's 1984.
Hmm.
Burt Reynolds...
Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr., Jackie Chan, Dean Martin.
Okay, there you go.
Cannonball Run was really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But were these major players in Cannonball Run? I don't know.
Well,
don't drag
Cannonball
us, Cannonball
ensemble.
Run people. Please, please. I don't want to start
Cannonball
my week with
Run,
that.
It's an ensemble cast. It's like it's like if you ever saw the movie Rat Race, it's the same premise. It's
The original Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's basically like a whole bunch of people are trying to get to one point. It's a big old race. It's such a fun series of movies. Well, no, I didn't see the second one, but Cannonball Run and Rat Race are very fun.
There was an original and a second, and it looks like the Jackie Chan and Dean Martin are in both. So, but I thought I swore they said Cannonball Run 2.
Mm-hmm. It was Barbershop 2. That was with Queen Latifah
Maybe I'm combining those two. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That was the other clue. Kelly Clarkson recorded a song with Logan's relative. Does that narrow it down?
I was just listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, what LC said was very, very true in that, like, I think that Kelly Clarkson is mostly known for her solo songs.
Is it Justin Guarini?
Imagine.
Yeah, I'm going to guess.
Somebody's relative.
Yes, I want to guess Justin Guarini.
Finale. They're saving the finale for the big reveal of Justin Guarini. Oh, my God. I know I'm jumping ahead with this, but I just want to applaud the genius of LC in her lie about this clue when she speaks to Lark later, where she says that Logan's relative did a song with Kelly Pickler. Genius, because if you're lying, like, this is a thing that we talk about all the time. We talk about, like, in Big Brother, it's like, if you're going to lie about your career, lie about something like that you have knowledge about or a similar or something like that. She picks another American Idol person, a person named Kelly, and this person is in country music. So it's totally believable. I just thought, I don't know how long she thought about that before she came up with this lie or if it was on the fly, but I thought that was an incredible lie.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
I thought she would like heard it wrong. I was like, no, not Kelly Pickler, Kelly Clarkson. You LC said the wrong thing. But
they gave her the stars.
Yes.
I was actually surprised. I thought they were just going to tell her and keep the stars, which would have been, you know, made it a little harder for her.
Yeah. But I really feel like that while it was smart to do it, I feel like it kind of like doesn't like help get like any further or closer. Like, I feel like that who knows what Kelly Pickler. Don't drag me, Kelly Pickler people. Come on.
But that's why it's a great lie, because it's like that doesn't help you. You're like, what the hell is Kelly Pickler doing?
Yeah.
But it's a good cover because like.
Mm-hmm.
It's if she slips up and says Kelly at some point,
yes.
She's not lying.
Well, didn't Pepper do the same thing with that? Said that Lark's person was in a tequila commercial with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I was like, pardon,
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear wrongly, or did the Jonas AI say we don't know who your people are? I must have misheard. I thought I heard it, and I thought, "Oh, that's great."
Yeah,
you know, it's like
they did
Andy,
say something
Anderson
weird
Cooper.
Like that.
They said they didn't know.
But then they said you're not as strong as your sister. So I thought,
Well, maybe Louise is so ubiquitous that they all know who she's related to.
Or maybe they know they find out as much as is being like released on the show at the time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, because you know Anderson Cooper didn't. ever know who the mole was. And I think that's good. So when I heard them say it so late, episode 8, I thought, ah, that's great. Yes, they shouldn't do it because they're interacting with the contestants and you just don't know what you might give away unintentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's smart.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
I want to give kudos to the editors who really like tried to build this up for like what ultimately is going to be a Luis going home, that we cut back and forth between two different conversations numerous times. Between, we have Elsie is in the bathroom talking to Lark and Logan is talking to Pepper. And at the same time, we're sort of getting both of them sort of like feeding some misinformation. And really, they're trying to ultimately work with this plan, which we suspect might be that, you know, Elsie is trying to get Logan to be the guesser to put up Louise into the guess off. But we're really getting a lot of like, OK, Elsie is going to try to make some promises to Lark that they are going to give Luis the shot to take out Pepper. Okay, I'll make sure I got all of that right. Jenny, did you think that there was any subterfuge going on?
I mean, I think that, you know, this was the plan all along. I know that we hear that Elsie gave it a ton of thought, but I think that, you know, she was on the same page with Logan about this plan the entire time. I think that it was well thought out and that they, you know, they are the power pair of the game, and that they weren't going to keep another pair in the game, and that this was the time to take out the layup. And I think that, I don't know, the lying to Lark, I don't know if she was maybe doing it to like build like, do you think that production would be you know, wanting like Elsie to lie to Lark so that there's like they have like content to make it look like there is like a decision? Or was she simply just being like, you know, I'm going to leave her thinking this so that she doesn't have any room to try and like pull something else?
I think the tricky thing here is that I don't think that, so Elsie and Logan both didn't have votes. So the only way that they control their own destiny is if it ultimately is a tie. So I don't know how much of their plan was, okay, we've got to get Lark and Pepper going in different directions. One, so they're not feeling like that they're going to work together against us. And then also, two, so we want to make sure that this vote goes to a tie. So it's going to be LC that makes the call.
Yeah, and I think that you know, if they're really just trying to ensure that, you know, these two other people left, Lark and Pepper, are truly not working together, that, you know, giving them both the impression that it's like, we're working, like, you're my person and we're in on this plan together. Because they really, as long as they had Pepper, you know, going with this, it didn't matter. It didn't really matter what Lark was doing. But, like, I don't know what was the harm in Lark being like, it's not going to happen. So just vote in Logan anyway, and we're all on the same page. What's the harm in that? But I guess it is smart if you're trying to drive the wedge between Lark and Pepper even more. And if that was very much the thought behind it, then that makes sense. But in this process, it seems like she really burned Lark, mm-hmm. but she has no other options left. Louise is gone anyway. So what is she going to do? She has no real strong bonds with anyone else left in the house. So it doesn't really matter if she lied to her. But I do wonder if like production is really wanting them to be like, we need there to be some intrigue here. So if you can keep things a little open-ended so that we can, I don't know. I don't know how much conversing about like, you know, breaking the fourth wall in this is really happening.
And, you know, and honestly, why not just let it go to a tie and give her more time to just decide? Because she could have just really just wanted a little bit of extra time to think about it. And for the, like Rob said, for the power to be in her hand, you split that vote, you know, you tell Lark, okay, I'll vote in Louise. But then you sit and think about it and you're just like, no, there's no point. Because even if you send in Louise and Louise does take the shot at Pepper, you can do one of two things. Nobody truly knows who Pepper is, like we pointed out earlier. They don't truly know if that they're right or not. So the ultimate thing is Louise might go home anyway. So what's the point of kind of doing this whole, you know, rally around that when also we don't know if Louise maybe turns and picks Logan. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though...
Because Louise had a lot of clues. Louise is like, yeah. I don't know if they knew every single thing that Louise knew.
Exactly. So you might as well just not take the chance. You just put in Logan, you take out the layup, and you're all good. And I just think LC just wanted to keep her options open until she made the decision. And yes, I do also think production probably
had. They love a tie, right? Like, I think that they want to see every possible outcome get played out. Like, they got an outcome they didn't even anticipate in the first episode with somebody, or maybe they didn't anticipate. We don't know. Right. That's up for debate. But I think that, of course, if there's an opportunity for a tie here, we're getting down to the end. There's only two people with votes, and we're going to have a tiebreaker. Like, if that can happen, they absolutely want that to happen.
I'm surprised. No, Big Brother 24 spoilers. I'm surprised production didn't like push like either of the like groups of five from the split house to end up going to a tie. So like, oh, the HOH will have to break the tie live. But I don't know if they
maybe. Big Brother production does not have the charm and sway that the claim to fame production has.
Very possible.
However, I'm sure that a TMZ article would argue that the Big Brother production is wonderful and doing such a great job.
Let's talk about the guess off because I did feel like that for the first time. I thought that they were trying to maybe chew the scenery a little bit here on the guess off to fill some time. Sarah, did you feel that way at all?
Before I answer that question, can I give you my conspiracy theory on the voto booth?
Yes.
Which has been much discussed on this podcast. This is how I see it. There is what we see, this little plywood voto booth with a curtain. They go in, then they come out and go to the set where the actual voto booth is.
Mm-hmm. So you think that's they just go theory. In and come out and then they film it? See, I still think that it's like, it's just like it's a tunnel essentially. And there's like a real door because it looks like it's connected to the house, right?
That's my other theory. There's a hole in the wall, but
it's like a shed
because the camera angles and it just doesn't look like there's enough room for everything in there. I mean, one of you did say maybe the curtain is over the door. So you've got the sound, you've actually got a sound thing, but I think the easiest thing is to pop them in and then take them out again.
Yeah. they're in the garage or whatever doing the votes. Yeah. Because they're renting this house. That's they can't true. Like build like yeah. a tunnel to go through.
A
like,
tunnel, yeah. that's true.
No, Katy Perry is not charging them rent, Rob. This is a gift to her friends, the Jonases.
Yes. Are they really friends?
No, I'm just making up this narrative that Katy Perry owns this house and she lent it out. This is why they should have been on to Luke Bryan, because Katy Perry did. Now, do they know that Katy Perry was an owner of this house or at one point lived in this house?
I do not know if it came up. Yeah.
I have to guess the house.
Guess what? They tell them the first episode? Yeah.
That's the final challenge is okay, Elsie and Logan, you know who each other are, so that's not fun. Your final challenge is to guess which celebrity lived in this house at one point.
Mm-hmm, the final challenge.
Have fun.
Yeah, maybe that's in the finale. Yeah. So ultimately, we're like sort of like revisiting with Pepper. Pepper, remember the first episode? You should have gone home that first night, Pepper. Look at you now. Here you are. Like, yep.
Rub it in.
Still not doing good at the challenges. Yeah. Still struggling.
Because she's not a focus of the events of this vote off, guess off, voto, guess off. She's not a focus of this guess off. So why are we talking to her about, you should have gone? Because that's the, personal story bump. This should be, if you're asking her that question, this should be her exit episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, very manufactured, to answer your question from earlier.
Yeah.
Is this edgic? Is this story arc for Pepper, winner's edit type stuff where it's like, look how far you've come. We literally get Kevin being like, what? I think if you hadn't had that first night, that really pushed you into
changed
the game
everything.
And like, look at you now. Mm-hmm. It's like, what a weird thing. are we thinking that there's potential for, we've been saying it's Logan or Elsie is probably the winner here, but I have also said like, there's a non-zero chance that Pepper is our winner here. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. And perhaps if we're just getting some edgic stuff here where
wow.
we're like, well, we need to like make sure Pepper's story is remembered in this episode.
Not this backhanded pep talk though.
Pepper talk. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was just to add to the drama that maybe Elsie will pick Louise and Louise will pick Pepper. I think that's why they added it, maybe this might be Pepper's last night, but I did stop and feel like, I was like, why are y'all going in on this woman?
So then, all right, we get that it's a tie. Elsie is going to pick Logan, a total betrayal of what she told Lark. And so now we know what Logan is going to do. And so there's a really funny moment where the Jonas brothers are going to like, he's going to guess Simone Biles. They ask Logan like, okay, was there a clue that really made you feel that way? It's like, yeah, oh, she just looks exactly like her. I'm 100% confident. There's really no clue that helped with that. Like, okay.
All the gold medals.
No clues after that point. I actually didn't even look at them.
Mm-hmm. He's like, they look like, exactly like twins. And it's like, what? Well, he asked. Oh.
This is, I feel like if, unless they did it before and they just didn't show it, I feel like this is the first time that like they took all the suspense away. Not that there was any in the first place, but, by, instead of doing the reveal right away, asking like, what led you to this? Like, we all know what's going to happen here. So we might as well have like a little talk about what were the clues that brought you here. They did not do this with anyone else.
No. Okay. So then ultimately, it is Simone Biles. I feel like Louise to me, I think was like the least sort of like award showy about her relative. Like, just like, yeah, it's my sister. I love her. Like, that, but Jim was like, oh my God, she is the greatest gymnast of all time. She is amazing. Just like,
yeah.
Whatever.
She did say her sister was an inspiration to her.
And some people, she said. Like, I thought she was going to say that my sister is an inspiration to millions of Americans. She's like, yeah, it's just some people also.
I think that this, you know, this comes down to Louise is young, and I just don't think that she's like very media trained. Whereas I think that some of these people might have maybe a little bit more experience or exposure to that kind of like thing, because I loved Louise. I thought she was incredible casting. I thought she was really fun on the show, but we saw like time again, like she's very giggly. She's kind of gets like a little nervous in situations, doesn't always know what to say. So I think that if anything, like that, the reveal was like kind of like an awkward thing for her where she like didn't really know what to say. So I think that it might've been a little bit of that as well. You know, how old is she? Like 20?
I don't know. Yeah, we find out her real name is Adria. Okay.
Adria Louise.
Okay. All right. And so we got a little bit like a post-credit sequence in this episode, which is very rare. I feel like we haven't gotten that all season where, okay, Logan is saying like, LC, she got caught. She tried to play both sides. And we see her trying to explain why she did what she did to Lark and says there was two reasons. She says that one, I don't want her to know that I'm onto her. I guess presumably talking about Pepper, and says, I needed to keep Pepper because that's the only way we are going to figure out Logan. And so do we believe what LC is saying? Is she finally ready to turn on Logan?
I don't know, because I mean, she was definitely entertaining that to Lark in the bathroom, even though she ultimately like, you know, made a decision that favors Logan over Lark. But like I was saying earlier, like I have to think that they're getting to the point where like, okay, we're down to four. We have what, maybe one round before the finale. Like at what point do I take a shot at Logan? Yeah. I think that, you know, it's that classic thing where you like, you want to work with them to a certain point and cut them at the right time. And I think that there's definitely a chance that LC is considering that. We're getting a lot of confessional bites from her where she's talking about like, I got to do what I got to do. Like this money will change my life for my family. And so I think that we're getting enough indication that she has it in her, and that's something she's considering. She's got to turn off her feelings. So that could be foreshadowing for her eventually actually taking out Logan. I do think that she has more reason to keep Pepper around than just that. But I think that's a very easy thing to give to Lark in that situation.
Now, let's revisit Sarah's question from earlier in the podcast about how do we think the finale will go? Now, I was under the impression there's only one more episode, but maybe there's two.
I think there's two. I think I think Sam Moore has discovered there's 10 total.
All right.
Episodes.
He is the master of that. Okay. So
he does know.
If we get down from 4 to 3 next week, then we will get there. I mean, 10 episodes seems more like a series than 9 episodes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess then, all right, we'll get down from 4 to 3, but then Sarah, do you have a theory of what happens at 3?
I have lots of ideas. I'll give you one. I'm not, you know, ready to lay down my life for this theory, but I wondered if it would be something. I mean, we don't know if it's a final three or a final two. Presumably the last episode is the winner. So whether it's 3 to 2 and then the winner, or a final episode where all three compete. I wondered if it was something like, all right, you have 20 minutes to write down every clue that you got for every person in 20 minutes.
Mara, you like that?
I like it. I don't know if it's writing it down, but I can definitely see some machination of like every clue for every person in the house, name them all. And like the person with the most can win. I could definitely see that.
The person that knows the most about everything and not just who's left. Yeah.
Because that's very interesting. They have to figure that. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody who's left. And if there's only three left, they are going to be the producers, the writers, the creators of the show are going to think, well, if everybody knows everybody, what is it? What can we test them with? And I think it'll be a test of, all right, the last however many days you've been here, you've seen 320 clues in total. How many of them can you name? You have to attach them to each person. Mm-hmm. That's
very interesting. That's a great idea.
What about you? Do you have any ideas of how it could work?
So I just feel like that I think it has to be another guess off. And I do wonder if will there be one guesser or will there be multiple guessers? And do you want to like, will there be a challenge and you can decide if you are the guesser or if the other people have to guess, but, or maybe it's like you have to guess both of the other people in the finals, mm-hmm. in the final guess off. And if you're right, you win, because I feel like that if it gets down to Elsie, Logan, and either Lark or Pepper, and I think that like we're closer on those two. Like I do think that there is some intrigue of like for Logan and Elsie. Like what if they're both wrong? Like I don't think they want to end the show with that. Like they kind of need the winner to be right.
That's what I was thinking about with the fact that the Martha Stewart and Lawrence Fishburne stars were on the carpet in the challenge. Is it's like, are they really worried that we're going to get into a situation where like the game ends with someone just being wrong? Like that's not great. That's not fun. So were they really just trying to avoid that situation?
And it can end with somebody being wrong, but somebody has to be right.
Yeah.
Like you got to have it like in the finale, somebody's got to guess an identity correct.
What a weird way that it ends. Like, it's like
none of you knew anything. Unfortunately,
Elsie and Lark and Elsie guesses
it's a stalemate.
Martha Stewart, and it's over.
Yeah,
and then Lark says, "Lawrence Fishburne." Yes.
Like, oh no!
And at least we got Elsie, hearing the name Jason Aldean in the conversations with the women. Like, I have more faith that Elsie is going to get where she needs to get than I do that Logan is going to get to Kiki Palmer. Like, he's starting to say, like, maybe not. Not Lawrence Fishburne, but I don't know if he's ever even thought Kiki Palmer.
What if it comes to a final two and they're just standing there guessing
back and forth? Yes.
Right. Yes. Yes. In a literal guess off, just keep going. To what you said, Rob, I really wonder with Logan, because so the people, Kiki Palmer's name, as we mentioned, did come up in conversation. The people that were in that conversation are all gone. I think it was Dominique. I think it was Kai and Louise.
Louise was the one that said it. Yeah.
Louise was the one that said Kiki Palmer. Not in like, oh, I think that someone's related to Kiki Palmer. She just said, oh, Kiki Palmer's
from
in Akeel that movie.
And I love her. Yeah.
And that's it. So it's like, I think that Logan might get close to going off of the Lawrence Fishburne clue, but I don't necessarily know that he's going to get to Kiki Palmer, which is the problem, without people there to bounce things off of, assuming that Lark and Pepper are no help with this. But I did notice that in the conversation he had with Pepper where they were like, our people's names weren't on the stars, where he said like it just seems so obvious, and so perhaps it is too obvious that it's Lawrence Fishburne. So I think he's getting close, but I just don't know that he will get Kiki Palmer.
Yeah, well, they have a secondary guess for her, which is also wrong.
Yeah,
so if they go off Lawrence, Forest Whitaker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't heard that one in a while. I forgot about that.
And how about Elsie then? And what a masterclass that she is putting on in opening the show. She's talking to Lark about how her father is trying to always lose weight. He doesn't have any real milk, and he only uses in his coffee prune sugar. Yeah. Is this a thing?
Is that what she said? I thought she said powdered cream.
No.
Prune sugar.
Prune sugar? I must have missed this. That sounds disgusting.
Sarah, have you ever had prune sugar?
Never in my life.
But I mean,
I don't mind a prune on occasion, but
sounds great for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
Digestive.
Yeah.
But that does bring up what I was going to mention, that it's very interesting that I think the reason why Logan and LC have the better chance is because they're lying about their relation to their relative. LC is saying that it is her father that is the person, when it's actually her sister. Mm-hmm. And Logan is saying it's his grandfather, I think it is, right? I think he said grandfather when it's actually his cousin or something like that.
Like, well, and I wonder if that helps Elsie even more, because it's like, it, you know, at least with Logan, it's like you could think both are male, and with like father versus sister, like you, if you're really fixated on it being a man, like you might not ever get to Keke Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the most effective? Let's we rewind to episode one. We're going to give our two truths and a lie. Do we, you know, we are now entering season two. Do we say to ourselves, the most effective lie in that two truths and a lie is my relationship? Because as you say, Elsie has stuck to the fact that it's her father. So mm-hmm. it's the wrong gender and it's the wrong age.
Yeah.
Yeah. As somebody who's recently played a claim to fame game, yes, that is very tricky when you are not getting the relationship correct.
Yeah, quite.
Very much so. Okay. Anything else claim to fame we want to make sure we cover from this week?
Well, just the Jonas CI outfits for the guess off, which were just like in Casablanca, they were the reverse of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the beige jacket over the black shirt for Kevin, and then our favorite was wearing a yellow shirt with a black jacket. So they were a very nice
Frankie,
negative reverse of each other.
Yeah. How about Frankie's burn about how like all celebrities are related somehow, and I'm related to my favorite all brothers band, Hanson.
Yeah. I love their dynamic. I think that Frankie's had better burns, but yes. You know, yes. I love him so much, I'll let it slide.
Hanson's like, thanks for the mention.
Yeah. That burn actually confused me, because when we were going into the challenge, I was like, oh, okay, so it's just going to be a string of other people, other celebrities related, like literally related to the person. I didn't realize it until like they started that it was the Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees. I was like, oh my God, why did they do this to me?
Is 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon copyrighted? Like, did they not get Kevin Bacon to, like,
it
why?
Must be.
Why did they, were they, did they not say that this game is like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? It's like they went like in such an end around to say what it was.
Do you think that Kevin Bacon's name was on any of the stars?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, or we just can't use a celebrity's name for the game because it's like leading the witness or something. I don't know.
I bet it's copyrighted. Like, I bet it's like a board game.
And I feel like I have some breaking news here.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yes. Breaking news.
I googled prune sugar and I have not found it. So
I have not found it either.
Is Elsie lying about prune sugar?
I wonder.
I wonder.
No, Mara, I bet it's something that it's only like, you know, it's probably like $200 an ounce or something like that, that you can't even get it.
That's probably it. I don't have Keke Palmer money. Keke Palmer stays in her bag. So I don't have that
prune sugar money.
Prune sugar money. Do you think that Keke Palmer is like annoyed and it's like watching the show? Like, why are you telling everybody about my business?
No. Keke Palmer loves it.
Yeah, I think she tweeted a couple weeks ago about like a support tweet for her sister. So
mm-hmm.
I think, I think she's at least paying attention, unlike Grandmaster Norris.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think Keke loves this. Keke loves being like the conversation, like in a good way. Yeah.
Yes. Sarah, why did you go and bring back the Chuck Norris pillow?
Because he was mentioned. Jenny said his name he sat up and thought, oh, I've been called.
Mm-hmm.
So that face can meet me in my dreams or nightmares tonight. So I will never forget it.
Yeah. It seems like Kevin Bacon is in on the 6 degrees of separation, that his charitable organization is called 6degrees.org. And so he had a podcast called The Last Degree of Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
Maybe they were worried about the confusion.
The original phrase is 6 degrees of separation comes from a play by an American playwright,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of turned into the Kevin Bacon for fun. He's a fun guy. And maybe they didn't use his name because maybe one of his relatives will be on season two.
No, well, maybe. Ooh. Okay. Is it going to be Keira Sedgwick? Okay. All right.
I don't think, can I just say, you know, I'm an easygoing gal, but I absolutely reject relationship by marriage.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, like, I think it's unfair because if you're going to use like genetics as like clues, then I think like if you have people where you're like, oh, they have like the same eyes, like, or just like a very obvious like genetic, I think that there should be some sort of blood relation in all of the familial. Well,
I would say that if there was in season two, somebody was married to a celebrity, I would be fine with that. I think if it's like, oh, they were my roommate or something like that. Like, but I feel like a marriage, I feel like is close enough. Like,
well, and I think that, but also beyond it, maybe being unfair because like they don't look like the person, so it'll be harder to guess. I also think that in a way it could be easier to guess because like, I think that, you know, if you know a celebrity, you might be more likely to know or recognize their spouse if they've been on like red carpets with them or something. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's almost like that's like too close for home, but also not genetic.
But I feel like I'd be okay with spouse, but I don't want to get into like brother-in-law or something like that. No. Stop it. Stop it.
No, yeah, that's why I think it should be like
Australian
bloodline.
Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Australian survivor. Grandfather. Blood versus water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where somebody's brother was with her momentary boyfriend. It was.
Yes.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, this was so much fun. Of course, Sarah and Mari, how many magnifying glasses would you give this episode?
Definitely this episode itself, maybe I'd give it a four. I love trivia. Ooh. I'm a huge trivia buff, but the drama at the end, like I have to take off one point because it was so manufactured. I felt like we knew Louise was going no matter what at this point. So I'll give it a four. Fair. It's always enjoyable.
Yes.
For me, the concept in the season is a solid five. This episode is a 3.5, though I enjoyed the trivia. There have been more exciting episodes, but 3.5 is still.
What about this podcast,
watchable.
Sarah? How many magnifying glasses?
10.
10.
Wow.
Okay.
I've been in the Millie gang since day one.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that. Sarah, what's coming up on Crime Scene?
Well, right now, hot off the presses is Trainwreck Woodstock 99.
Yes.
With Mari, myself, and
the king of
Chappelle.
Train wrecks. Yes.
Yes. So if you've finished listening to this, you can jump straight on the train. And we say that I say a C word, not the one you're thinking of, another one. We say the S word a lot, all of us. And Mari, surprisingly, for the first time on the podcast, says the F word.
Wow.
Now I need to hear.
That's a great teaser. Yeah, go check us out. We had a wonderful time. Don't believe the lies that Chappelle was spreading on Nothing But Netflix. Go and check out my wonderful intro for him on a Crime Scene by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed to subscribe.
Okay. Mari, anything else that you're working on this week?
Just Crime Scene. Me and Matt will be back soon for the Wrestling Wrap Up. So just go and follow me
after
on Twitter.
The clash at the castle.
Yes, sir. After which is lining up perfectly with Game of Thrones, like Clash of the Castle and all of their.
Yeah, they have like a dragon, right?
The dragon.
Will Chuck Norris be working security at Clash at the Castle in his British military uniform?
I don't think so. I don't think WWE can pay for Chuck Norris right about now. Just go follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, #2. So that you'll know when me and Matt come back for the wrestling wrap up.
Okay.
But that's it for me. Right.
Mari, Sarah, thank you so much for being here with us. Jenny, you and I got to play our very own edition of Claim to Fame over on Robin Akivinita podcast this weekend.
What a time that was. Mm-hmm. It was a ride. I did not know what to expect. There were moments where I had no idea
so
what was going on.
So many twists and turns, yeah.
But it also, I felt like this podcast had been like really good training because I think that I was really critically thinking about these clues and I thought that we were a good
team.
You
did such
Rob.
A good job, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. That was a fun time. There's a video version on YouTube if you want to see all of the confused faces and other hijinks. There was a video reveal at one point. So definitely check that out.
There's a lot going on.
And it's been, you know, this past weekend was a very claim to fame weekend because I was also on the Big Brother B&B with Mike and Liana, which was an incredible time. And there was also a claim to fame themed game, which was incredible. Again, another great video podcast that's also on the RHAP YouTube page. I definitely recommend the video version, at least for the second half of the podcast. But yeah, just check the whole thing out there. It was fun. So check that out if you have not yet. I had a really, really great time podcasting with those two. And yeah, that was my weekend of claim to fame things. And then from now going forward, I'm just waiting to see what these, I guess, next two episodes will bring us, what the finale is going to look like. Yeah, and just having a great time. Living life.
Jenny, great job once again. Thank you all so much for listening to our Claim to Fame recap. We'll be back next week to talk about the final four and what will happen and who will go home when we get back together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.